At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dynamite! Hey everybody, it's Dynamite Show. Better late than never. For those of us, for those of you watching live, thank you for waiting. And for those on audio, you don't even know the difference. But I had some issues today. As I've mentioned on the show before, I generally start watching Dynamite about 20 to 30 minutes in, and then I skip commercials and entrances, and you know, usually get caught up by the end.
Important story beats, yeah, other things like that, sure.
Yeah, so I go to watch Dynamite, and I check. I always check the PVR the night before, and it was recording last night. It was scheduled for the regular time.
Hold on, for you Americans, PVR is what a personal video recorder? Is that what they call it?
Yeah. So it's same,
it's basically
as a DVR.
The same as a DVR down here in the first world. Continue.
Okay. All right. So I go to DVR, and it's there. I actually have it set to record on any TSN station that'll record Dynamite. So whether it's TSN 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it can be on any one any week. I don't even pay attention to which one it's on. Mm-hmm. But it was set to record. So then I go to watch it, and it's not on on my DVR. And I'm like, well, what the hell's going on? So I look at the guide. It's not airing. And then I look forward, and it's airing like 4 hours late. And I'm like, what the hell? So I pay for Triller. And I have a VPN, so I can pretend like I'm in a different country, so I can watch it on AW Plus, which I also pay for. I go to watch Dynamite there. The app's not working properly. It's freezing up. I get to Sasha's entrance, or Mercedes entrance, sorry, and it just stops. And I'm like, what's going on? So I reset everything. I'm just so frustrated. And then finally, I point it out in the Discord, and someone that's in Canada points out, oh, It is airing, but it's called Overdrive for some reason on the program guide. So I look at Overdrive, and sure enough, I can see Darby Allin getting beat up by Jack Perry. And I'm like, oh, crap. So I can go and I can watch that show from the beginning on live TV, but I can't fast forward commercials when I do that. And then I can set to record from that point on. So when I catch up, then I can start fast forwarding again. So that's what I did. I had to watch the first 40 minutes of Dynamite like I'm a peasant who can't fast forward commercials, and oh my god, those commercials are brutal. But I did get through the show. It took me a little while longer, and then I had to put my daughter to bed and all that stuff, so we're here now.
I was hoping for like a punchline or something just to say you were late. People don't care.
Well, you know what? but now I can relate when people complain about it happening in the States when it doesn't pick up. And I will tell you this.
So you can finally relate to other humans. I'm so proud of you, Paul.
If I didn't have this show, I don't think I would have watched Dynamite tonight.
Oh,
okay. I would have found a replay at some point and watched it. But I can see where this shit like this might be hurting their numbers. No, because
I liked the show.
Oh, I did too. I did too.
I'm just saying, like, with people who were complaining that there wasn't enough wrestling or something.
If I tune in and I want to see a show and it doesn't air, it's frustrating. And I will say, like, I don't watch anything that airs on CBS on Sunday nights because I know whatever aired in the afternoon in sports is going to screw up their whole schedule. So, like, I think that hurts their ratings. And I think stuff like this hurts Dynamite's ratings. But
60 minutes, except for those of you on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, this week we got news. You brought up the Australia Stadium show is apparently something that they're working on. which seems ambitious, but.
Oh, no. Let's stop there for a moment, shall we?
Okay, sure.
It sounds ambitious.
Yes.
No, it's over ambitious, Paul.
I don't know. They like their wrestling out there.
That's fine.
Kyle but... Fletcher gonna headline a stadium show?
Yeah, who's your Buddy Matthews?
Yeah, Buddy Matthews
him going in there.
Him and Malachi going for the tag belts. Kyle going for the American Championship.
I know I kid that, you know, other countries are all third world countries other than America.
Oh, here we go.
But AEW also can't sell out a 4,000 person building.
No, but they're going to sell 50,000 tickets in Wembley, and
well,
I think their first time in the market. I think they'll do well. I bet you they maybe sell 35,000-40,000 tickets.
Okay, but here's Mike. Why not just sell out an arena and bring in the scarcity aspect of it?
Mm.
Throw on a great show, and then the next time you come back, say you don't want to miss this one. We're going to make sure everybody can get into the building this time.
Well, I hope they do a tour. I hope they're not just flying out there for one show.
Then it would be worthless. Why are you doing the one stadium show if you're just going to do a bunch of little arena
shows? Because Australia's a big country, dude. Like, one side of the country to the other is like from LA to New York.
It's a British penal colony.
It's a big country, man.
No, it is. I get that. It is. But at the same time, bring all the Aussies and some of the New Zealanders and maybe
Tony
some
Storm
people.
And.
But no. I meant in terms of people.
Oh,
have
I
them all come to one place and travel type of a thing. Yeah. Make it like your WrestleMania in Australia or something.
Hey, maybe
like
Bad Luck Fale will get a payday.
God help us. Who's the other one? Juicy Gambino?
Yeah. He can do commentary.
Sure.
Yeah, Gino.
Gino Gambino, thank you.
Yeah, and then also, ticket sales for Wembley have kind of stalled. It's looking
you
like
don't
it's
going to say.
It's looking like it's going to end up around 50. They might get to 55 if they sell a lot of tickets at the end, or give away a lot. And so, you know, let's just say for argument's sake, they do 55. That's, you know, a pretty big drop from last year. And I'm hearing rumblings that they may not do Wembley again next year. And Sean Ross Sapp, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he had posted something a few days ago that they are working on a show for a stadium show in Texas, and the rumored location would be the Globe Life Stadium, which is Texas Rangers. So it's not nearly as big as the Cowboys Stadium, but I think 35,000, I want to say, maybe more for wrestling because you put seats on the floor.
Does this feel like to you keeping up with the Joneses?
Well, or maybe a little bit of that, maybe a little bit of trying to create an event. And if they move All In to that location, maybe All In's got enough cachet that it might sell a lot of tickets. And that is a good market for them. Maybe when they're running a little too often.
Are you admitting you've killed Chicago as a town?
I think so. I mean, they go there a lot. I imagine they'll still do All Out there. I would think that maybe what they could do, because now they're not tied to that bank holiday in England, maybe a move All Out are All In up a few weeks. So it's a little more in between Forbidden Door and All In. You can move All In back to Labor Day weekend and maybe you do, you know, first or second week of August for the stadium show. And make it a big deal. And you know, they got a lot of Texas wrestlers. And it's a location, it's easy to get to. You know, you can get people from Canada there, you can get people from both coasts. You know, if they want to travel to an AEW show. I think it's a good idea. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's one of those things where it's like we've put on too many pay-per-views too soon to me.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to be that stodgy kind of a fella and say that. And say that, oh, what they really need to do is go backwards a little bit and build up their company again and make it a hot product again and then expand. They're expanding thinking that they're a hot product.
Well, they also think they're going to be, and I say think, I believe they probably will sign a really, really good TV deal soon. And if they do, then, you know, he's got all this money to play with, a lot of which he's already spent.
That to me is correlation is not necessarily causation. He can have a lot of money. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I mean, and he's got a lot of money either way.
Who's he gonna spend it on that isn't already working for him?
Well, there's people with contracts coming up.
Well, no. What I meant is that is not a WWE wrestler.
Oh, well, nobody.
Okay.
I mean, who else is there? Like,
exactly.
He's already ripped apart Japan. And he uses everyone that's worth anything in Mexico.
And really, who in WWE could come over and make that big of a splash other than Roman Reigns? And Roman Reigns ain't coming to AEW.
Rebecca Quinn, but she's not going anywhere.
No.
Yeah, I think
Mercedes was a better get than Rebecca Quinn, I think.
You think so?
Yes.
It's hard to say. But either way, I don't think she's going anywhere anyways. Maybe Bianca. Bianca is someone they could do something with. But she's not going anywhere. She's probably locked up for a long time.
I think she's a lifer, yeah.
Yeah, Drew would have been a good get, but
Drew would have been a very good get.
He got the bag. I think Punk would go. I think Tony would take Punk back in a second, but he's not going back.
Stop playing with whatever you're playing with. It's driving me nuts.
Oh, sorry. All right. It's been a weird day.
That's okay.
So, big ambitions. I think I have a feeling we're going to get the announcement of the TV deal at Wembley. I just, my gut's telling me that. And maybe even some news about streaming pay-per-view. Who knows? I'd heard a rumor.
I will stick to my original suggestion. I think Dynamite stays where it is, and I think Collision and Rampage go to True TV for their True Sports lineup at night.
And I think ROH stays on Honor Club. I don't think anybody wants ROH.
I don't think ROH exists, but that's okay.
Well, I think it does. Because
as a television product, it does not
exist. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Because I think that product's worthless.
Right.
And I watch it every week, but there's nobody's paying for that. I will say something else before we get into Dynamite. As you know, maybe some of you know, if you follow me on Twitter, if you're in the Discord, you know this. And if you're not in the Discord, send Gigi an email at gigi@vikingmedia.com. We'll get you into the Discord. I'm catching up on shows that I haven't watched, and just today I was watching the August 3rd episode of Collision. So that's how far behind I am, 11 days. And so I watched Collision today after I watched NXT last night, and I watched Raw on Monday. And I watched even Dynamite today, I'll say. That show looks so low rent compared to everything else I watch. It's way more like Impact than it is like a Major League Wrestling show. And I think that excursion deal or whatever you want to call it, the residency, I hear the crowds are great, but the miking is terrible and it just looks bad. And especially when they go backstage, it's just awful. And
this again?
Collision.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's brutal, man. And these Rampages, it's the same show every week. Because I watched the night before's Rampage.
That's almost true, to be honest with you.
I watched the Rampage from August 2nd, I think it was. And it was, I saw Wheeler Yuta in a match with Brian Danielson on commentary. I saw The Butcher in a match. I saw Private Party wrestle a match. I saw Harley Cameron wrestle Nia Jax in a match that was way
too
long.
Nyla
Rose. Nyla Rose. I always get those two mixed up. Harley Cameron
with the funniest moment in possibly the last month, I thought.
No, because the funniest moment in the last month was on the next week's show. So what I just described was 2 weeks ago. I was listening to the review that Brian and Vinny did of last week's Rampage, and it was the same show. There was a Wheeler Yuta match with Brian Danielson on commentary. There was a Private Party match. It was the same show, except Harley. It wasn't Harley Cameron versus Nyla Rose. It was Saraya versus Nyla Rose.
Okay, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
With Harley Cameron at ringside. And then she says, do the Rampage.
Rampage.
I haven't used that.
That was 2 years ago.
Meanwhile, the show is called Rampage.
And Harley just can't control herself after saying that. Or getting scolded.
But it's the same show. It's literally the same show. So, yeah, it was, and nobody's watching it, so.
Yes, there's a member of Private Party or Top Flight on it. There's usually a Lucha Brother of some sort or a Luchador.
This theme. It was, yeah, I think it was Private Party against MXM 1 week. And then on
Collision, you have Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo killing themselves for nobody.
And you have the, you know, Christian doing a promo, and you have House of Black show up, and sometimes they wrestle, sometimes they don't. You got a way too long 6-man tag in the main event every week. And yeah, and a bunch of squash matches. Abaddon shows up every once in a while so that someone can say we had two women's matches on the show. Let's get into speaking of women's matches. Dynamite started with Mercedes Moné defending her TBS championship against Kara Shida, and they had a really good match. And unlike most of the stuff on this show, the fans actually cheered who they were supposed to and booed who they were supposed to.
Shout out to Norfolk, Virginia.
Yeah, for
my
now.
My former stomping grounds, yes.
For now. I didn't check the crowd. I don't know if you want to do that while I'm going through this to see how they did tonight.
I know they're at the Chartway Arena, which is the one for Old Dominion University.
Oh, okay.
It's a college house.
So it's a college one. They were dueling Let's Go Shida CEO chants, but that was only brief. Most of the time they were cheering Shida and booing Mercedes. Camille was at ringside, and she is the worst ringside person. She doesn't do anything.
Random acts of wearing a belt if you're going to.
Yeah. So Shida, for some reason, they're having a really good match. And then at some point, Shida just decides, okay, I'm going to get my kendo stick now. And she starts beating on Camille with it. Camille's selling, which she shouldn't be doing yet. Mercedes got the kendo stick away, and then Camille laid her out with a boot. And after Shida got laid out, Mercedes, quote unquote, hit her moneymaker, which she never hits right. And this one looked really bad. She got the win, and that was that. So it was a really good match for a while, and then it kind of fell apart at the end. 3,100, Anthony says. So.
I see that.
Carl liked Camille at ringside. Okay.
I love that boot spot.
That was good. I'm talking beginning of the match. She was just kind of standing there.
And she shouldn't have been. I mean, she should have no-sold a kendo stick shot. I thought that would have been a good thing. You know, like,
and
like
she was
banging the wooden chair or Bubba in the wooden chair.
She was cheerleading at one point, and that's not her role.
Yeah. No, she's there to look big and bad.
Yeah.
And that's what she should be doing, and she should be no-selling anything that hits her. I think that would have been the call. I think Mercedes is still top three in the world. I mean, you watch her.
Yeah, she was good.
I mean, you Stardom fans can have your stuff, but I'll take a Mercedes match any day of the week. I hate her new finisher, though.
Yeah, she's got to really drop that. Yeah, like if she can't hit it on Shida, it's time to
rename the bank statement and
think
of something, please. Thanks.
I think she used that one at one point.
She did.
She
used it in the when she won the title.
Yeah, she called it something else too. I can't remember what, but it was something to do with this market crash or something.
Yes.
So Britt's music hits, and Camille spots a fan at ringside in a mask and assumes it's Britt. So she pulls her out of the crowd and starts beating on her. And you knew right away, okay, that's not Britt. And I'm wondering now, maybe that's going to be like Rebel or something. Maybe she's back with Britt.
No. I saw who it was. But you know what? They may put somebody else in there. That's what I'm thinking. You might be right. That might be
Rebel.
How they reintroduce Hater or something.
Hater. Like that. Yeah, that would work. But yeah, so while she's beating on her, this was funny because Mercedes is positioned to where she's watching this beatdown, but she's also right in front of the Tron, where I'm sure they're playing Britt coming in from the crowd. So she's got to pretend not to see Britt coming in because the crowd was reacting to Britt. So I think they could see it. I mean, it could have been the just the live crowd seeing her going through. But regardless, it was fine. She shows up. I wrote down that she attacked her from behind. But before she got to her, Mercedes turned around. And
yeah, I noticed that, too. There was some
Or maybe it was on purpose. She took her down, and she was going for the lockjaw. But Camille was trying to pull Mercedes out, and Britt wouldn't let her go. And finally, she let her go, and she got her out. And amazingly enough, like the crowd wasn't terribly into this post-match. I you know, it was a good angle. They just weren't really into it. I think they really kind of wanted to see more of Britt and Mercedes and Cheetah. Like, I think if they would have given them five more minutes, like this would have been like one of the best women's matches going. But yeah, it was good and a good segment.
I think where they kind of lost it was when they had to do the choreographed spots where it's like, okay, Mercedes is going to land here so that the foot can be pulled out, and the timing stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of just doing normal call it in the ring style wrestling or whatever. I will say
that building the match with Britt was more important than having a good match here.
But I thought Sheeta and Mercedes worked well together for a while there. That was the thing. And you watch that and you go, well, Sheeta used to be in the tops of this division, and Mercedes is just lapping her a little bit here. And it's like, wow, you just realize the quality that
you can go back to this match though at some point and you know, do a proper title match and, you know, maybe a main event on a Collision or something like that. Yeah,
I mean, we can always go back to the weren't we teasing a Sheeta heel turn at one point that we just dropped?
I'm sure we were. Yeah. You know what would have been good with the candlestick is if it would have broke on Camille's back and she no-sold it.
Or over her head and it didn't do it, you know?
Yeah. And then she was like shocked.
Well, that's how Dusty used to get over monsters all the time. It was Bubba and then Meng.
She was a little too vulnerable here, but it's not going to hurt her.
You know, the one wooden chair in the entire arena they happen to find to break over. Yeah.
Yeah. And it shatters into a million pieces and the guy goes, "Wah!"
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. All right. Renee was, they showed footage of an altercation, and this happened after Dynamite went off the air last week. We didn't even know about it. People were talking about it the next day, but of course, because we record so soon after the show's over, we didn't know. And so they got into a brawl. Lethal was involved. Security was corpsing. They apparently in this as well, Tony and Mariah were brawling as well in the background, but they didn't show that part. We get an interview with Renee and Jay Lethal, and the whole crew's there, except I don't think Satnam was there.
No.
It was Sanjay and Karen and Jeff. And Renee says that they've been a thorn in Hangman's side. And then Jared took exception to that. He's like, "What do you mean? We're a thorn in his side." And Lethal says he doesn't like Hangman, and then before he can get the words out, Hangman attacked him, and he attacked Jarrett, laid him out with a microphone. This is, and he shoved the other guy, Sanjay, halfway across the building. And they brawled into the crowd. They shot this really well. Like, they, you know, it's kind of similar to the way that WWE does their entrances sometimes, but this was like, it seemed more impromptu. So it was kind of cool. And they come out and the crowd's chanting cowboy shit. And then this is when I realized they were in Norfolk. So that's why they were chanting for Hangman. And of course this one, it was a mixed crowd. Like, I think at times they remembered that Hangman was a heel and they were booing him. But then, you know, as the match was going on, they were getting into it. They realized, you know, they like Hangman. So they were just kind of forgetting about it. But they were getting behind Lethal too. So it was a lot of heat for this match.
Well, yes. And they also had to be reminded Lethal's a face.
Yes. Which he's not really a face.
I mean, he worked like a face tonight.
He totally worked like 100% like a face.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, he might have got a little too much in. But I mean, I would say, like, you know, you got to build Hangman up, but I'm not exactly sure what we're building Hangman up for, because he doesn't have a match at this point. I assume he's going to be wrestling Jarrett at Wembley, but I don't know that.
Well,
everyone's saying it's going to be Swerve and Hangman at All Out. And, you know, I suppose that's possible too, but
we will need to talk about that, because the thing is, it feels like Hangman and Swerve is the hot story.
Yes.
Going into Danielson and Swerve. So I'd be interested. I mean, I thought
they did a good job with Danielson and Swerve tonight. We'll get to that.
I do too.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's going to change any ideas.
Yeah, maybe. I think if they do Hangman and Swerve it all out, it's probably not a title match.
I think it's Hangman and Jarrett, and I think it's going to be a walk-in brawl, you know, yeah. like
at All Out or at Wembley?
London Street Fight or something.
Oh, yeah, Wembley. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be that. So anyway, that's mid-match. You know, it was a good match. It was not quite a squash. I mean, Jay Lethal got a couple. He hit the Lethal combination at one point. But the ending was kind of rough. Hangman hit him with a really stiff lariat. I think Lethal might have got knocked out because he took forever to get back up. And then when he finally did, Hangman hit the buckshot, and then there are medics out there immediately checking on Lethal. So,
well, yes, and pause here for a moment, because I think if that happens, this announcing crew drove me nuts all night. We were 30 seconds into the match and they were already having the giggle fest.
Yeah. And this may have been a sell job to get rid of Lethal for whatever Hangman's going to be doing.
But it's fine. But Taz also described discus lariat, was that what it was? As snug.
Yes.
And it's like, just say, oh man, he really got him good with that one. Looks like he has his bell rung a little bit. At least put it in the world of the fake wrestling for a little bit.
Shivani did a good job of that, because he said, he could just cover him now. He doesn't need you to hit the buckshot.
My complaints are mostly Taz tonight in terms of commentary. But yeah,
Shivani was all right tonight.
Oh, I thought Shivani was fine. I thought Excalibur was fine.
Yeah. I didn't even notice Excalibur, so that's probably good.
I thought it was Joke Man Jones over here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got a video package, highlights of MJF beating Michael Oku in progress. So this was good. I saw people complaining that they didn't advertise MJF versus Michael Oku. I'm like, why? I mean, it's
Rev Pro's show.
Yes. They showed the highlights. That's the important thing. So he beat Michael Oku, you know, spoiler alert if you haven't watched it yet. And then
the Tiger Driver 91.
Yep. And then he was going to go after the fiance or something. And I was kind of distracted during this video package, but I was listening to what they were saying. And then as soon as that started happening, then that's when Will Ospreay showed up and he kind of saved his buddy Oku and the girl. I can't remember her name. And then that led into a video package for the Ospreay MJF match. And this video package was great.
It was long. It told the entire story.
Yeah.
There was a little missing opportunity. And if you don't know Virginia geography.
Oh, okay.
Norfolk is about, I'd say, an hour and a half away from Yorktown.
Okay.
Where the British surrendered to the Americans during the Revolutionary War. And me being from the area, it's like I would have pitched, let's go to the final defeat of the British during the Revolutionary War.
You should have told me this. I could have sent. I got an ongoing DM thing with MJF. I could have sent him something.
I could have sent something to Mookie, probably, but you know, whatever. Yeah, no, but I adored this. I saw people complain there wasn't enough wrestling on this show, and I'm just like, what are you talking about? They're doing build. It was fantastic.
Yes. This was a great go home show.
This was a Jeff Hawkins special for the most part.
Unfortunately, we have another week to go before the thing, but
yeah, that's kind of unfortunate. But you know what? Yeah. I would have nobody on the card actually wrestle. I would have them just cut promos going into it and see what happens. But yeah.
So the highlights of this video package, MJF was saying that he was the best in the world, not Ospreay, and they showed him beating people from all over the world, so that was cool. And then they showed him taking out Garcia. That was a big part of this. So, you know, that could end up playing into the Wembley match. He called his title the most important championship in the history of this sport, and he said that he'll do whatever it takes to win, but he doesn't think Will Ospreay has that in him. And they announced that next week, MJF and Ospreay will be face to face in Cardiff. So they'll do a segment like Claudio and Okada did this week, only much better.
Yes.
Although the Claudio Okada one was fine. We'll get to it. But yeah, it was good.
No, I really enjoyed. I watched this in amazement.
Yeah, no, it was. This was the kind of thing that they would normally put on the countdown show. And I hear people raving about these countdown shows, and I never watch them. I'm sure that because they don't air the countdown show on TV anymore, that's probably why they put it here. And good for them. This is good build.
You want this on your main television show.
And it's not the kind of thing you're going to turn away from, I don't think, because there was new stuff in there. Like, they're showing highlights of MJF's matches from around the world and stuff like that.
You know what it does? It builds the hate.
Yes.
And you know, don't get me wrong, the jingoism is funny, but you want to know why these two actually hate each other. And it's I thought it did a very good job.
And the underlying thing is, okay, Ospreay wants his moment in Wembley, and he wants to win that title, and he's got to bring himself to the point where he can do something that he doesn't want to do. MJF resents the fact that everyone calls Will Ospreay the best in the world, because they ignore the fact that he thinks he's the best in the world.
You know what I'm also very happy about is that he did not follow up on the Kyle Fletcher stuff this week.
No, you're right. They didn't. Although, like on one of the shows I watched, they actually did. They aired a great video package for Kyle Fletcher.
I don't need the package. I just meant they didn't do anything to further the angle.
No, because it's distracting from the issue at hand.
Get him out of the way.
No Callis tonight, which was good.
Yes.
Yeah. He had no purpose because he's got nobody on this Wembley card. We got a Pac promo. I'm the number one contender for the American Championship. He puts in air quotes, and he says Billy Boy went and got himself a title match for Wembley Stadium. I'm sick and tired of being manipulated and treating like a bum. That was my ticket to my Wembley moment. Well, I went ahead and I sanctioned myself some revenge. Whoever leaves Wembley as international champion, so he's back to that, will face me in the same arena where I beat Kenny Omega 5 years ago. Will Ospreay or MJF at AEW All Out, I'm taking back what's mine and reminding the world what the bastard is capable of. And so.
This is a fun promo, I thought.
Poor dude. He lost his Wembley moment.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
You should be mad you lost your Wembley moment.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why he didn't just challenge Okada, but I guess he's got.
I actually thought he was going to be in that. He was going to announce himself being in that gauntlet match.
So did I, and he probably will be in that gauntlet, but it sucks. I guess we should have talked. Oh, did we talk about it last week? The Lucha Bros. I think maybe we did talk about it last week.
We did.
Yeah, but he was what word came out this week was the original plans for All Out were going to be him and the Lucha Bros. You know, going for the six-man belts against the Patriarchy, and they probably would have won. So that was his Wembley moment, and he got screwed by Penta. So,
well, no, the AEW is his present.
True. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
God. As he said on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. We got more highlights. Darby Allin beating Butcher on Rampage, and then teaming with Hologram to face the Premier Athletes. This freaking Hologram. That's another one. He teamed with Mystico last week on the Collision I watched today against the Premier Athletes. Then the next week he teams with Darby against the Premier Athletes. I assume next week he's going to team with Orange Cassidy
No,
against the premier athletes.
And he's been tagging for the past few months with Nathan Frazier on Tuesdays. And thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Let's just move on.
Oh, and well, he simultaneously did an appearance in Minneapolis and the ROH TV tapings in Arlington. Did you see that?
Well, he's a hologram. He can do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Tupac's still alive if you really consider that. So
yeah, that was funny. So I, one of those people didn't have the real hologram. So
it's like those old masked wrestler gimmicks where it's like, oh, that's not really Junkyard Dog under that mask.
Or you ever hear that the Jeff Foxworthy bit where he talks about his family and going to Disney World, and he's like my aunt Ethel is in line for tickets to see Goofy, and he's like, it's just a kid in a Goofy suit. No, I'm pretty sure that's the real Goofy. Oh man,
that's truth in advertising down here.
Yeah. All right, so we got another video package for Darby Allin.
More videos. Give them to me.
He says, I've been killing myself for nothing. What's the end game? AW started. I didn't even know what it was, but it turns out it's a place where I could be myself. So I'm homeless and living in my car, and then I see on the internet that AW has signed Jungle Boy Jack Perry, and I'm like, who the hell is Jungle Boy Jack Perry? And it turns out AW is just a place where the elite are going to hire all their friends. This guy did a couple indies in California, and now he's working for AEW. And he says, well, after all these years, you can be yourself. What was Jungle Boy? No one believed in that Tarzan bullshit. You're a child who takes everything for granted. If you understood what AEW was, you treat it with respect. Every year, every week, I kill myself. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. He says, last year, I wish you retired. I wish you got fired. He says, no one would miss you. Fans wouldn't miss you. What have you added to AEW? At Wembley, we're going to put this all to an end. And I kind of wanted to hate it because of him, you know, getting a little inside there with, you know, the elite hiring all their friends. But it actually turned out pretty good.
I liked it. I think Darby sometimes swerves into a little whiny when he starts talking about these things. And it just comes off bad. But Perry beating him down made up for it for me.
Yeah.
This was awesome.
Yeah, so Darby comes out. We hear his music. He's coming out for something. I don't know what. They didn't announce a match or anything. And
well, look, no, you're contractually obligated to go down the ramp if your music plays.
Yes, and so what he was scheduled for was a beatdown.
Yeah.
So he comes out, and he's immediately attacked by Jack Perry. He's wearing his pink fur coat. He wears that thing everywhere. When I was in Vegas, I saw him walking around MGM wearing that thing. He really loves that coat. He's like Jake Hager in his hat.
Well, no, that's the attention getter. That's him walking through the airport for Vince McMahon type of a thing.
There you
go. Although at this point, he needs to clean that thing occasionally.
The half face paint isn't enough. Perry dragged him backstage. Darby made a small comeback. There was like no crowd heat, so I thought, well, maybe they couldn't see it. But then Perry threw him into an overhead door, and the crowd reacted to that. So I guess they didn't really care about the brawling, but when he hit a overhead door, they were fine. So then
delay also, because there was that delay with Danielson too.
There was a couple times tonight. Do you notice like when the audio would like switch?
Yes.
It was weird. I because it's like they're editing, like they, you know, maybe the crowd was chanting something nasty or something, and they didn't want us to hear it. So he dropped the overhead door onto Darby, and he's talking to him, but you could barely hear what he was saying because he wasn't mic'd. But I think he said, you only sacrifice for yourself and you pretend to be a hero. And he sees a road case, and he's going to wheel this into Darby, but security guards broke that up, and he's screaming at Darby again. And I couldn't make out anything he said other than the fact that he asked for a coffin match at Wembley. So 2 years in a row, Darby's in a coffin match.
I howled at the security guys, especially the two that started the fight, because he's just yelling, Jack. It's like, you're just saying, I'm here for you to punch me. Please come over here. And then the timing spot. Look, I was kind of interested to see if this road case was actually, if Darby was going to take that bump. I got to be honest with you.
I think he would have
too.
Yeah.
But I liked the timing spot. It's like, it's one of the things that drives me nuts about television wrestling at times in terms of the continuity of when your hired local talent that you're using as security has to interfere and when they don't, type of a thing. Because it feels like I really want consistency in those rules one of these days again.
We got a lot of them tonight. They were all over this show.
I think they should, when you get closer to a pay-per-view, the rules should be more stringent so that the talent doesn't hurt themselves and rob us, the fan base, of the opportunity to see them at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah. So they had advertised I'm just saying something here. Whoever was complaining about not enough wrestling, like, I agree with you, like, this show didn't need it, but damn, there was a lot of non-wrestling segments here in a row.
You hush your damn mouth, Paul, and get to the next one.
Well, the next one is they had promised us a Mariah May movie. And what we got was a video promo like we just seen from Darby Allin.
This was a horrible bait and switch that they did to us. Because all the advertising was her in the black and white and stuff. So you expected one of those types of things. And she just looks and goes, "You're stupid," or whatever.
Yeah. So she says, she narrates this video. And the whole time while she's talking, she's got Tony's old ring gear and she's setting it up to be ablaze. So she says, "Last year, Tony failed." She says, "I copied your success, but never your mistakes. It's all about Mariah now, and it's not about you. Your greatest mistake was being alive at the same time as me. You wanted to be a star. Well, now it's time to burn." And this is where she burned her entrance gear. And she says, I'll forget that you compete. I'll forget you're complete.
It doesn't matter. This promo wasn't very good.
Your screams, your tears, and the taste of your blood. One day I'll wonder whatever happened to Toni Storm. She says, "Don't worry. We're both going to die. I just get to write your eulogy." And that was that.
I was promised death.
Yeah. I know. And our buddy, Brian, who he fills in for you on occasion with family. He's just all set. He wants a dog collar match between these two.
Kylam, is that the last name?
Zylam. Zaleem, I believe is how it's pronounced. Yeah. Sorry. I don't know. I don't think we're getting a dog collar match between Toni Storm and Mariah May.
I saw that and I liked the idea. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think there's a little too many stip matches on the show already. So
I agree.
Yeah.
But this is your Starcade. You want them to be all stips.
So the next thing we got on this show was so freaking weird. Renee Paquette is backstage, and who should she run into? Just randomly hanging around backstage at Dynamite, but Mina Shirakawa. We have not seen Mina Shirakawa since Forbidden Door, and she's just here. And I immediately, because I'm an idiot, I tweeted out, "Oh, they flew Mina Shirakawa in for this?" And it turns out she's been in America. She's on an excursion. She's been doing ROH tapings, but none of them have aired yet. So she's there. But anyways,
she's there, all right. Yeah.
So for people watching, like, they haven't seen her since Forbidden Door.
No, and you would think she'd get an entrance or something the next time she comes in. No, just random backstage.
And I mean, there might as well have been people walking around behind them. Like, this was not like a studio set. This was like, "Oh, hey, Mina, come here." And so she asks her about this thing, and she says, they're in a blood feud. Or no, Renee says, what's going on here? Like, Tony and Mariah, they're in a blood feud. Have you contacted them? And she says, "I've not heard from Mariah. I've not spoken to Tony, but I'm heartbroken by what happened. They were in love, and I love them both. Mm-hmm. I did not expect this transformation. I've never seen Mariah so vicious or Tony so obsessed." And Renee says, "Well, it all in. Who walks out the winner?" And she says, "I don't know. I just hope nobody gets seriously hurt." So that was that. English is not her first language, but I understood everything she said.
She did fine.
She did fine.
She looks great.
Somebody said the biggest heel in wrestling is the person that put the graphic over her boobs in this segment.
I would agree there too.
Yeah.
No.
And we're okay to say that because the boobs are a big focus of her character.
Because that's her gimmick.
Yes. But yeah, no, this was fine. It was just weird. Like, right? Was it not weird?
Yes. Okay. You know, I would have at least, you know what, they could have, again, it's one of those things where if you're sitting in a pitch room or what, a pitch meeting, and somebody pitches this, you want to go, well, okay, how do we explain that she's there? We watch her come in looking frantically for either Tony or Mariah, and somebody has to break the news to her, no, they're not both here. And then we cut to Renee asking about her feelings or whatever after being disappointed that she's there to see her friends and nobody's there.
Or you know what? Maybe even say, like last week or even on Collision, because I will say the show was kind of loaded in terms of content. Like there's a lot of great matches and angles and segments and stuff. When Dynamite ended last week, we had Swerve versus Wheeler Yuta. That was the only thing they had announced. So whatever, you know, on the weekend, they could have said, oh, Mina Shikiro Shirakawa is going to be on Dynamite and she's going to address the Mariah May, Tony Storm situation.
I think that's overhyping it though.
Yeah. But I mean, if you, I think people would have been interested in that.
I wouldn't have even put this on the TV unless she's interfering in some way in that match.
Oh, she probably is.
Okay, then that's a fine Easter egg, and I'm cool with it. But, I mean, I don't think we need Mina Shirakawa's input unless she's going to be there. She can do that for the aftermath.
In fact, I will go so far as to say I think what's going to happen is Mariah May is going to win that title, and her first title defense is going to be against Mina at All Out.
Well, we thought that, too.
Yeah.
She's already won the title, hasn't she?
Mariah?
Yes.
No.
She had, oh, what belt? Oh, she's carrying the Owen belt. Never mind.
Yes. Okay. Oh, my God. They're doing a great job of build here.
No, you know what that is, Paul. That's the, there's always that one movie that has advertising for like 6 months to the point where you think it's already come out yet.
Yeah.
And left theaters. That's what Mariah May and Tony Storm is right now for me at times.
Yeah. No, she's going to win the belt, and then that'll be her first title defense. I think that she'll probably get involved and Mariah will probably beat the shit out of her. Like, you know, and as a part of that. So,
okay.
Probably going to see the return of Luther too. All right. And at some point here after this interview, Excalibur noted that Tony Khan has made the coffin match between Jack Perry and Darby Allin official for Wembley. So as if we didn't know. And next up, wrestling. Orange Cassidy versus Kyle O'Reilly versus Roderick Strong. Two stablemates here against Roderick Strong, who, you know, these guys have fought in some, I think, like 3 or 4 straight Dynamites now. But this one was for the number one spot in the Casino Gauntlet. Now, I want to say, I saw some criticism about this. Like, why would somebody want to be number one in the Gauntlet? Whoever's saying that doesn't understand the rules of the Gauntlet.
Correct.
Because the match can end at any time. So you want to be number one.
Yes, because, you want to be one of the first two out there.
The only thing I would have said is, they should have also said the two who don't win, they're not in it.
I agree.
Yeah. Now, here's some things, because we had a lengthy discussion about the Casino Gauntlet in the Discord.
Why?
Because people were complaining about this being for the number one spot. And we were explaining the rules and everything. Did you know? Apparently, they've mentioned this in commentary, although I swear to God they haven't, but I was told they have. Did you know that the Casino Gauntlet matches have 21 people in them? Like, there are 21 people scheduled for a Casino Gauntlet match, but the first two, one ended at 10 and one ended at 9.
I did know that.
Yeah.
But I think I also heard once that there could be an unlimited number of people.
Because that's what the commentator said.
Okay.
But it actually is 21, because that's the casino part of it.
I want all 21 in one of these things.
All the casino, like whenever it's casino, like so when they have the casino battle royal, it's 21.
Yes, you have the four suits. And then the Joker.
Then the mystery. So here's the funny thing. I think, and I could be wrong, and I'm probably just making it up, that there has actually been a 21st person in both of these previous ones, but they never got to them. So Tony paid to have a mystery guy show up. Dijak was in the last one.
Oh,
but
really?
Yeah, but he didn't make it. He was just backstage at catering. They never called his number. So that's it. Curry Head confirms they've mentioned 21. So there you go. I've missed it. But there's 21. So hopefully at some point we get 21.
When was the last time they did the actual like suits battle royal where it's like
it's been a while.
All those guys come out at once.
I want to say All Out maybe last year.
Yeah.
But I don't know for sure. But yeah, so I think we're going to get a lot. We're going to get a lot of surprises on this thing. But we know the first guy is going to be Orange Cassidy because he won this match. They had a really, you know, it was a fun match, a nice little three-way, you know, a bunch of cool spots. There was a spot early on where the Kingdom showed up with chairs. And of course, because it's a three-way, there's no DQ. But before they could do anything, Mark Briscoe and Ishii came out and they brawled to the back. Briscoe did a dive off a chair, took out both guys. And I assume that this is probably setting up a ROH tag team title match at some point, which would be cool. Maybe All Out. They brought to the back. So then they go back. Orange Cassidy starts doing his weak ass kicks to Roddy and Kyle.
No, he does the weak ones to Kyle, and then he starts doing the
real ones. Except the real ones are pretty bad. like he's barely touching them, even though he's acting like he is. It was pretty funny. And they did some cool spots where like guys were trying to hit one guy, but they ended up hitting the other one. And it was clear Orange Cassidy and Kyle didn't really want to hit each other, but they did a few times. Orange Cassidy went for Superman punch on Roddy, but he ducked. But then Orange didn't actually hit Kyle because he held up. Double cover by Kyle on Roddy and Orange Cassidy, but Bryce wouldn't count. Like, why not? Like, if Kyle pins them both, he wins. I didn't understand why he wouldn't count it. Then Kyle and Roddy brawled with forearms. Orange Cassidy punched Kyle away, took a knee and a sick kick. Kyle reverses it, put in an armbar, and then while he had Roddy in the armbar, Orange Cassidy clipped him in the seatbelt, rolled him up and got the pin. And Kyle was really upset after this match. I've never seen Kyle O'Reilly show this much emotion as when he lost this match for the number one spot in the Casino Gauntlet.
I'll have to go back and watch. I kind of tuned out a bit.
Yeah, no. He was like, it was like almost like Christian. You know how Christian used to do the temper tantrum? It was almost like that. Not quite. Like, I don't think it was supposed to be comedy. I think he was actually upset. So, or trying to be upset.
So we're basically signaling that he's finally going to join the Undisputed Kingdom.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, because what Orange did there, he stole the win.
To replace Wardlow.
Yeah, Wardlow's another story. We haven't seen Wardlow since...
Is the Undisputed Kingdom's theme the worst theme in AEW and possibly in wrestling right now?
I couldn't tell you because I skip it. So.
Okay.
But I'll accept that. We got Renee. This was the... they promised a... face-to-face, I guess. And I guess this was a face-to-face. It was Renee with Claudio and Okada. She starts by thanking them for no physicality. They're both in these sharp suits. And she asks Claudio what the title means to him. And he says, the title means a whole lot to me. At the Continental Classic, it was my title to lose. When I wasn't successful, it bothered me. It's not about how many times you get knocked down, though. It's about how often you get up. And he says, this is going to be the first Dynamite in Europe, and I plan to make my title shot count. So Okada, he says, nice speech, very passionate. And then he puts his hand on his heart and he goes like this, got me right here. 12 guys fought for this title. There's one champion now, and it's me, not you. I'm the greatest tournament winner of all time. I'm a 4-time G1 winner. You will respect me when I beat you in Cardiff. I'll be the champion after the Continental Classic this year. It says, good luck, bitch. And the crowd popped for the bitch line. And then he walks away. And Claudio says, I really hope I don't get this version of Okada, the EVP lackey. I want the Rainmaker, not this bootleg version. The winner of 4G1s, the Tokyo Dome Rainmaker. He says, next week, I'm going to be 7 times better than I am today. And in Wales, you'll have 99 problems, and this bitch will be number one. Took a long way to get to that punchline, but kind of worked.
Well, yeah, and he kind of missed the emphasis on because I felt like, why is he repeating Okada's promo back to him? It's like, no, he should say, I want that guy. I want that, you know, it was one of those days where they needed a second take, I think, to say, okay, look, go back and do this one. But I think they just did live, so.
I was pretty impressed with Okada's promo, actually.
You could have just said, bitch, and just.
Yeah.
And just, or very impressive. You could have thrown the bitch in at any time during that promo. And kind of, I thought it was fine. I thought it went like about half a beat too long. But other than
could have gone like, got me right here.
Well, you didn't need the too sarcastic.
And then
things.
And then walk away.
Yeah,
The heart thing was a little much, but and then Claudio had to copy it. But I did like the last line: 99 problems, and this bitch will be number one. Although he called himself a bitch, so there is that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All right. So we got another video package. This was from Collision, and Christian was a referee, and he fucked over the two trios teams. And I'm quoting Excalibur here. It turned into a double count, double draw. That's what he said.
No, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Rules of the NWA, as I recall, they used to have double count, double drops.
Oh, is that what? Okay. I just thought he screwed up.
I'm screwing with you, Paul. Oh, yes.
Sorry. So Renee is backstage with the patriarchy, and she says, "Last week you took matters into your own hands to protect the titles." And he says, "Well, it's a $1 million question, isn't it? Well, I called it right down the middle. Watch the tape." He says, "They couldn't make the 10 count. That's on them. I always keep my promises. I said I'll win every accolade in AEW, and I will. These trios titles are a vehicle to win back, to win the AEW world title, and I will. I'll hold every title in AEW at the same time. And on Rampage, my son Nick has a match against that loser, that fatherless loser, Kip Sabian. I'm not going to be there in Norfolk." The fans booed. And, she said, "You know what, Renee? You've had a condescending tone in this whole interview. Get out of here. Go back to being a mom. You're probably a worse mom than you were an interviewer. And we are the faces of TBS now and forever." So after this, two things hit me. First off, everyone assumed they were doing a three-way at Wembley, you know, with Bang Bang Gang and House of Black. And, I mean, that would make sense based on what they've done on Collision. But the way Christian did this interview, it's almost like he was saying, "Nah, those teams are done." And then he goes in on Renee and being a mom. And I thought, maybe we're going to get Moxley, Wheeler, and Claudio challenging for these trios titles.
They may have just set up the one for All Out or All
In. That could be. But that could also be Wembley.
No.
Although, no?
Well, I don't think Moxley's doing Wembley.
I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Okay.
He's been off for 2 months now. He can do Wembley.
I agree.
Yeah.
You go talk smack to Moxley. Tell him he's not working enough.
He just told Moxley's wife that she's a bad mom. Like, there's no way Moxley's letting that go, right? Like, Christian didn't just throw that out there. Like, that's coming, right?
I would agree, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it could just be a singles match, and it could be All Out. I mean, it would – what I'm expecting – well, before this promo, my expectation for Moxley was he was going to be in that casino gauntlet.
Could be a four-way.
Yeah. Or he's going to show up at the end of Claudio and Okada and in Cardiff, and maybe he'll challenge Okada, and they'll do the singles match at Wembley. They could do that. I mean, it's 3 days notice, but who cares? It doesn't matter. Tickets are sold. So we go back to the ring, and it's Tony Schiavone, and he's got a mic, and he said, "It's Hook." And Hook comes out. He's got his toque on and his eyes.
Well, Tony Schiavone's from Virginia, so he also made that point. We people from Virginia don't want you here either, Christian, type of a thing. I thought that was a nice little touch.
That's true. Yeah, he did mention that. Yeah, Curry Head points out he's a dead man walking. I love that picture of John and Vinny there. Christian, he's in the ring, and he's got his eye bandaged up, and he can't see. What?
Well, it's funny because nobody noticed the bandage last week because of the hair.
Well, yeah, no, because the toque was over the eyes.
Yeah, the toque and the hair. It was like, they missed this important character beat. We need to put that on there.
So they made clear this time. Yes. And he does a promo into the camera. And when I say into the camera, he's like...
Hold on. Yeah, you can see nose hairs coming out of him. If you wanted to.
Yeah. And so he says, "I can't see out of this eye." People laugh. And he says, "You see this, Chris? You see what you did? You took this eye away. But do you see the problem? I can see just fine with this eye. I can see you, Chris, and I'm sick of your shit. I want my title back. I want to fight you for my FTW title right here, right now in Norfolk, Virginia." Fans pop. They're crazy. They want to see this FTW title match. And out comes Christian and his crew. And he's got a mic. Chris Jericho. I said Christian. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And he says, "Hi, guys." And the fans responded. And he says, "Hi, Hook. You know what, Hook? You're really a stupid son of a bitch. Even after I blinded you with a fireball, you still want to challenge the Learning Tree to a fight here in Norfolk tonight? You want to fight? You want to fight?" And then he pauses and he takes off his shirt and he gets his eyes. "You want to fight? Well, you ain't getting one. It's not worth my time to fight you in Norfolk tonight, Hook. But what is worth my time is Wembley Stadium. I'll give you a shot at the For the World Championship at All In. But there's a couple caveats. When you have your shot at Wembley, it's your final chance. And when I beat you, you're done. You walk away from the FTW title, from the Learning Tree, and the Jericho Vortex." And Taz said, "That sounds like a pretty good deal, actually." And he says, "Also, number two, next week in Cardiff, you get to face one-on-one the Redwood, Big Bill." And Bill gets a mic and he says, "I'm going to beat you down and shove you straight up." And he looks over and he says, "Taz's ass." And then Brian Keith says, "Straight up his ass."
Straight up his ass.
the crowd lost it.
Yeah. Brian Keith made this same segment.
Yeah. And Chris Jericho says, "If you agree to that, we'll see you at Wembley." And "Thanks, Hook. Thanks." And Chris says, "Yeah, Chris, I accept. And you know what? I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to dumping Big Bitch and tearing you, Chris, from limb to limb. After Wembley Stadium, you'll never, ever be the same again." And Chris didn't like that. And Taz laughed and he said, "Oh, I've heard that line before." And John points out that was a magical moment, Brian Keith, and it absolutely was. Straight up his ass. How you do it, Roddy Strong, by the way.
I just love the fact that he is just randomly just a rage monster all the time.
Looking like Billy Jack Haynes up there.
Very small Billy Jack Haynes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. With his hat and his poncho. I love the Bounty Hunter. All right. Next up, we got the Young Bucks versus the Acclaimed. Whoever told you that we had not enough wrestling on this show, you need to force them to watch this match on a loop for the next 2 hours until they poke their eyes out in bemusement. I mean, the match was fine. It was way too long. Went through two commercial breaks. The Bucks did as little as humanly possible.
Yes.
So last week after this show, Brian Alvarez went on his show and pointed out that the reason we haven't seen the Bucks is because they're on a limited dates deal. As soon as those words came out of his mouth, I knew for a fact we were going to see the Bucks wrestle this week. And of course, they, as on Twitter, they said, well, actually, they said on Twitter that as one of our limited dates this year, we're gonna be defending our tag team titles. Justin Roberts called them the fightingest champions in AEW history. This is their first defense in 115 days.
You're just trolling Alvarez at this point.
But, oh yeah, I'm here for it.
Look, I don't want to go through the beats of this match.
No, me neither. I want to say I hope they got an extra payday from Tony for this, because Tony was gotten to by Brian's comments. I hope like they weren't scheduled for the show.
Tony books for Brian's comments these days, or Dave's, but overall the match told a very good story of the scrappy underdog. Acclaimed going after the tag team titles.
Yep.
And that would be a wonderful story to tell if they hadn't been such assholes the past 4 weeks or so.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, because the Acclaimed have been in the middle of a heel turn.
Yes.
And in this thing, they were the ultimate baby faces. FTR came off his heels.
Yes.
Yeah. And the Bucks are
no
fine.
No sense
job.
Whatsoever in terms of what we've been watching the past 3 weeks.
And the other thing is, you could have cut 10 minutes off this match and told the same story.
I agree there too. Yeah. Yes.
But so they had a long match. And
I was waiting for some hint that this was kind of like a heel on heel type of a thing.
And we didn't get that.
And we never got that.
No, Max is ripped. I don't remember the last time I saw him with his shirt off, but he looks like he's been hitting the weights a little bit. I thought he was in really good shape. So the first part of this match was all about getting Billy out of there. So at one point, he grabbed a chair and he went after Matt Jackson, and the ref saw it, so he kicked him out. And they put up a thing during this match for the AEW World Title match, and they're now calling it the Final Countdown. So I thought that was interesting. Matt ripped up a sign at one point that said Dung Bucks. And then at the end, we got this babyface comeback from Bowens. Slice spread by Matthew, PK from Nick for two. And then the ending came. Bucks missed a TK driver. Then there's a ref bump. Matt hit a low blow on Caster. Matt grabbed the title belt and was going to hit him with it. And then FTR showed up, took the title back. And then as soon as the ref came to, Dax Harwood looks over at the ref, realizes he's come to, and then he attacks the Bucks to cause a DQ. Like, it was, I mean, he was an asshole. Like, no two ways about it. And you know what's going to happen next is we're going to get a promo from the Acclaimed, and they're going to be bitching and whining after being babyfaces here.
And we're going to go back to the Acclaimed being heelish.
Yeah. And so the fans didn't like it. I mean, it was a pretty good match overall. We got a light "This is awesome" chant at one point, but the fans booed the finish. Acclaimed are pissed. Billy came back. Security was out again. Bucks walked away with their belts laughing. They were announced as the winners by DQ. And then Renee was backstage with Chris Daniels, and they were watching on television, and he says, well, this changes the tag team pictures. If the Young Bucks had just beat the Acclaimed, FTR would be the number one contenders, but that wasn't definitive. So while this complicates the tag team title, I got a simple solution. And I was expecting a very convoluted solution when he said that, but no, it actually made sense. At Collision, FTR versus the Acclaimed, winner gets the title shot at Wembley. So there you go. Maybe FTR just beats them.
It's going to turn into a three-way, too.
I think so. I think the Young Bucks will probably interfere in that match, just like Christian did last week.
Yep.
And we get the three-way. But I really hope we don't. I just hope FTR just beats them.
I don't like three-way tag, multi-tag matches. I know that's kind of been their bread and butter, and they've excelled in those matches. But I really just like a one-on-one.
Unless we're actually not getting that three-way in the Trios title match, maybe. Like, maybe that is
one for all in, one for all out, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. So. Yeah, but I mean, I kind of just want to see FTR and the Bucks again. I mean, it's been a year. I mean, I've got no problem seeing it again. They did a few promos throughout the show, and it was, I don't know if they'd heard it before this, but right here they they're talking about Swerve versus Danielson, and they're playing Machine Head by what's the band? I keep wanting to say Rush, but it's not Rush. It's Bush, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's interesting that Tony paid for that, but Yeah, Machine Head by Bush. So speaking of music that Tony paid for, we got a video package, and they had advertised this on Twitter over the weekend. And it was going to be a video package highlighting the career of Bryan Danielson to the song from Green Day called Good Riddance. I thought it was kind of ironic.
Parentheses, time of your life.
Yes. And, you know, and I was expecting to be in tears by the end of this. I just figured, you know, that song kind of tugs at the heartstrings. And, you know, I figured, well, they could do some really cool stuff with this. And I'm gonna take the heat for this. This was the exact same promo that this is the exact same video package that WWE did to Monster.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A couple of years ago, except they did it way better. Like that one still tears me up to this day when I watch it. I don't know what it is. And there was stuff here that probably did get people tugging at their heartstrings. And if you watched it and you cried and you think this was way better and you think
I'm an idiot. I'll tell you why you got more emotionally invested in that one. Because okay. There was the idea, and they even played up into this in the video, that Danielson was getting screwed by having Batista and Orton around at that time.
Yeah, because that was WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, and once they changed horses on that one and did that, then they had that other scrappy kind of – I mean, that was the one – yeah, that was the one where it was like it would start with the three.
Yeah, he had to beat Orton and
– and Batista.
No, he had to beat Triple H in the opener to get into the match with Orton and Batista.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So is it fair to say that the build to WrestleMania was better than Swerve versus Danielson?
It's like I almost just quit the show right there. No, yes, of course
yeah.
It was.
So maybe that's it.
I really think they made a mistake on this. Is the my other big quibble of this show?
Okay,
the Yuta Swerve match and the video package should have been hyped throughout the show.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have had something with Yuta getting ready. I mean, just little. I mean, we didn't need full-on promos or anything. We could have had check-ins by
backstage,
our 38 backstage people. Yes, we could have said, "Hey, and we'll have a Bryan Danielson video package also later." Just continue to give the hard sell of what we're going to
show show the tweet from the weekend and advertise it's gonna be Green Day, you know, like everyone knows that song, so people are gonna be looking forward to it.
But
and
it's
they're
just
not gonna
but it's just basic wrestling reminding you what the TV main event is. Just continue doing that.
So what did you think of this video package?
I loved it. It was good. I think you're correct. The monster is superior, but I liked this.
And I did too. But as I'm watching it, I'm like, the way they did the transition things, like showing early in his career to now, like it's the exact same thing they did. And they showed like moves that he did early in his career and then doing them now. And they even showed cute.
I think the gravitas of this match, quote unquote, being Bryan Danielson's last match has not been sold well enough on TV to pull
it
off.
It's quite possible the same person put two of them together. Like it might have been Mike Mansouri putting both of them together.
No, that wouldn't shock me either.
Yeah. So, but I mean, there was some the cool stuff in here. They showed some footage from Colt Cabana's film. They showed young.
That the Wrestling Road Diaries. It's very good.
They showed some footage of him with a very young Kenny Omega, Claudio, Chris Daniels, Samoa Joe,
some
Jushin Liger.
Some old PWG in there, too. I mean, not quite Los Feliz Elementary or whatever it was where I went to see the first time. I think I saw him Samoa Joe in front of 15 people, but close. It was like the Burbank shows or something. Or no, there was a Reseda show in there, too. Yeah.
They showed stuff from CMLL, from Hammerstein and ROH. They showed him very early in his career doing a promo with an eye patch, and then they transitioned to last year when he was wearing the eye patch during the C2.
He loves eye patches.
Yeah. If you fight for your dreams will fight for you. Crowd exploded at the end of this, and they chanted yes, just like they did after the Monster video. It was great. Like I don't want to downplay it. I was thinking about that.
It was solid, and you don't have to overpraise it because the problem with this video package is there is a superior video package that exists.
And it was almost trying to tell a similar
story. The same story, yes.
Similar. I mean, I think maybe they should have somehow in this video played up the fact more that we might be seeing the end. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, and they've tried to get that over with Swerve, and they haven't really quite.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where he's saying, I'm going to end your career. Well, you're just saying that.
Like, maybe even showing some of the stuff where, you know, like, and I know people hate this, but where he was, like twitching and stuff, and, like, where, you know, like, there he's being called out on a thing. Like, he's willing to give everything he has.
Well, they haven't gone full baby face with Danielson because he's always kind of a jerk.
Kind of a dick.
Kind of a jerk. And they haven't gone full heel with Swerve.
They did tonight.
They did at the end. But, I mean, like, Swerve coming out and not cutting a promo, but cutting a promo on the fans and saying, I'm taking him away from you guys.
Yes.
Kind of a thing. You know, where you
really we might get that next week.
Well, we might get that next week. But at the same time, I mean, you know, at the end they rectify themselves. At the beginning, it was Nana with the coffee cup and chanting whose house, Swerve's house. I'm like, why is he chanting when he's the heel in this match? Stop that.
Yeah, and then the fans were doing it during the match too. And that was kind of annoying.
They were doing
as well.
It because Nana was leading it at ringside.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. I wasn't watching Nana, I was watching the match.
Well, no, you could hear him. You can hear when Nana says whose house and yells it.
Oh, see, I always thought that was fans doing that.
No.
Okay. So the match itself, so the main event is Wheeler Yuta and Swerve Strickland. Danielson was at ringside. And it's funny because, like, I watch UFC and they show people at ringside all the time and they'll put up a graphic to say who they are and the fans pop various amounts depending on who it is. If it's Trump, they lose their freaking minds. It's crazy. But, you know, Chuck Liddell will get a great big pop and the women's champion will be like, you know, like it, so that's what we get. And so Danielson's on camera and there's like no reaction. And there's people around him that don't even realize it's him, I think. And then eventually it kicked in.
Go back to your seat, you geek.
Yeah. And then eventually it kicked in and they cheered. But it's funny because the announcers even pointed it out. It's like, oh, I don't think those people realize it's Danielson.
And then they finally got the pop and it was like, okay, I think they probably just didn't have it on the big screen.
Yeah, they probably put up a thing. Yeah, Bryan Danielson challenging for the AW world title.
It was probably the match graphic. And then they're like, oh, no, we need to put the arena camera on there. Yeah. Okay, cool. You know, that kind
of thing. So he was at ringside cheering, and the beginning of this match was basically Swerve kicking the shit out of Wheeler. Wheeler got a brief comeback, and then Swerve took over. And then at one point, Wheeler did the kicks of death, you know, that Danielson does, and Swerve basically no-sold it. And then Swerve put him in a LaBelle lock, and Wheeler countered it. And Tony Schiavone, of all people, points out Wheeler might have shown Danielson a counter to the LaBelle lock, which... Okay. That was interesting.
It's the turn your head on a pile driver of storytelling.
Yeah. Wheeler kept going for the cattle mutilation, which he's been using on Rampage. So if you've been watching Rampage, this kind of storyline kind of paid off because he's used it to get two consecutive wins on that show. And Danielson has been on commentary and pointed out that he taught him this move. And at one point, he hits a German suplex. He tried for the cattle mutilation again. Swerve hit a back elbow. Wheeler slapped him, like, hard, and Swerve just smiled at him. And then Wheeler's chopping the shit out of him, and he's no-selling them. And then he headbutted Wheeler with an uppercut to the chin. Like, it was brutal. And then Danielson was on his feet cheering on Wheeler. And then Swerve hits Wheeler with a house call and just kills him. And the fans chanted one more time for this baby face. So Swerve hit him with one more. And Wheeler at this point is dead. And then we hear whose house? And the fans barely even chant because at this point they're starting to click into what's going on here. And then Wheeler hit him with another house call. Danielson was selling this great. He's almost in tears. And then Swerve does the boots of death. And then he mounted him with punches. And the ref just stepped in and stopped it. Poor Wheeler was dead. And vicious, vicious beating. And Danielson rushes the ring to make the save. Swerve bails. And his music's playing, but Swerve's like, no. He's got a mic and he says, I got a message for you. I said last week I'd show you why I'm the most dangerous man in AEW. Well, that right there was an example of what I'll do in front of you, in front of 50,000 people in 2 weeks. And he says, you said you're going to bring your family, right? Because right where you sat front row and watched me mutilate Wheeler Yuta, That's the same thing I'm going to do to you in front of your daughter when you have your last match. And you can fulfill that promise you made to her that you will retire. But this ain't going to be your choice. I'm going to force you to retire when I cripple you. And Danielson doesn't like that. And then he makes the fatal mistake of turning his back on Swerve Strickland. Yes. When he turned his back to him, I knew exactly what was going to happen, because he turns his back, he tends to his buddy, and immediately gets, and they shot this really well because he didn't see Swerve coming, and he nailed him from behind with the house call, and that's how the show closed. It was pretty great. Pretty great closing angle. Set the stage for, you know, Swerve is the heel, Danielson's the baby face. And, you know, if you pay your money, you're going to either see Danielson's last match or you're going to see Danielson win the world title. And that's it. And I think it could be either. My money says Swerve's going to win, but there's a small possibility that Danielson could lose and retire.
I think Danielson gets his moment.
Winning the title.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I said Swerve. Sorry. I screwed up. I meant Danielson. Yeah. Like I say there's a small chance Swerve could win and retire Danielson, but if I had to bet on it, I'd say Danielson's winning.
Yeah. And I think Shane McMahon comes out, helps congratulate him.
Here comes the money. Maybe.
Well, no, I don't think he gets an entrance. I just think he gets part of the, you know, the thing. Or I could still see Nigel screwing him.
Oh God.
One last time.
That would be for the main event of Wembley?
Yes.
Kill the town. We're not going back.
True.
You know what? If they're not going back, they really missed the boat by not having winning the title here.
I'll tell you one thing. If they don't book Soraya versus Emi Sakura for Wembley, they're doing something wrong.
One speculation on that I saw was Soraya going to do an open challenge and it'll get accepted by Jamie Hayter.
That's fine. I want Emi Sakura to get her moment.
Mm. Yeah, that she should have got last year.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't mention this because didn't really apply to anything on the show. And I assume you know, but maybe you don't. And I almost hope you don't. Did you see what young Willow Nightingale is going to be doing at Wembley?
No, I have not.
Oh, God. Okay. So they're doing a segment backstage. I didn't see it, so I'm going by memory of what I heard. Let me just say, Tomohiro Ishii was wandering around backstage, and it ends up that there's going to be a tag team match at Wembley. Willow Nightingale and Tomohiro Ishii against Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway. That's what they're doing with Tomohiro Ishii at Wembley.
You can follow me at Crap Game 13.
Can you imagine? Why, John? I don't know. Because they got this heated blood feud, and we got to get the manager in there. Stokely's going to get killed. Maybe
for
literally.
Our amusement, I can take that. Yeah. That's fine.
It's on the pre-show, by the way. So
we're going to have 800 pre-show matches anyway. So
yeah, I mean, I'm hoping to watch this show, but I'm not committing to it yet.
I still think Hayter ends up saving Britt.
Could be. I'd heard that she's
in the Sting mask type thing.
Yeah. I'd heard there, you know, may have been some issues between the two of them, but hopefully they've worked them out.
She's been caught for a long time. I would hope so, but
yeah. And I mean, you know, Hayter, you gotta, if she's cleared, you gotta use her at Wembley. Yeah, you gotta. But so this was a good go home show, but unfortunately, well, I mean, in a way it is a go home show because they're going to be in England next week. So, you know, next week should really just be like an extended pre-show almost, but
yes. I have no issue with that. I know people, that's really ripping off the people in that arena or whatever.
Now they're there to see all the stars. They'll see all the stars.
I want to see the hard sell. I want to see each and every feud have kind of a segment in there and people talking smack and get me excited.
And
I really like this. I did.
And the thing is,
Dynamite.
What you're going to get is you're either going to get the people that are going to be wrestling on the pay-per-view. If they're going to be wrestling a match, it's going to be like a squash match, or it's going to be them doing a promo to build up their match at Wembley. If I'm in the crowd, I kind of just want to see the promo. You know what I mean? Like I don't necessarily mind seeing matches or whatever, but
we're
I don't
different.
Want to,
We're older. It's one of those things. If it's these 20 and 30 something kids that are just I watch this for wrestling, not for build.
Well,
it's
you can get
your private party and top flight match.
Yeah.
And maybe two random luchadors who you don't care about or whatever, and you'll be fine.
Michael Oku against Orange Cassidy. Let's book it. Book it, Tony.
Oku versus like Commander or something.
There you go. There you go. I wonder who they're gonna fly out there. Remember last year they flew out Sky Blue for some reason. I think she might be hurt, but
she is. She just had ankle surgery, I believe.
Oh, okay. There you go. Oh, that's right. Yeah. So that's that. That was the show.
Yeah.
Next week.
I thought it was one of the stronger Dynamites I've seen from them in terms of a package that had a purpose to it.
I really like the show. I don't think I was frustrated at the beginning, but it wasn't really their fault. I can't blame AEW. Although there's no other TV show that I try to watch where this happens all the time.
but again, I am not your average AEW fan. I am somebody who who likes build more than
enough. Well, if there's people complaining that there wasn't enough wrestling, it's a legitimate complaint, but I hope they enjoyed the promos and the video packages. Well, that's all I'll say.
Maybe.
All right. Get your plugs in.
Get my stuff in. Scrap Game 13 on Elon Musk's X. Arcane references, bad jokes. I had a pretty good joke about that Tom Cruise Hollywood sign thing. I also do a show on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network called Shake Them Ropes. Chris Novembruno and myself doing kind of a lighthearted, snarky take on all the week in domestic wrestling, mostly WWE and AEW. And this week for Vader Club, I made him watch the Tower of Doom match from the Great American Bash 1988.
Ooh.
Because that was it. Because after Kevin Sullivan passed, and we recorded, but he had never seen it. And I offered him some cleansers for not doing it. So we may go in a little bit into Sullivan and Cactus Jack versus the Nasty Boys, or Sullivan versus Benoit from that Nitro, just to cleanse the palate a bit. But yes, I gave him the Tower of Doom match just to see what his reaction would be. And also another recently passed wrestlers in that one, the artist formerly known as Vladimir Petrov is the Russian assassin.
I didn't know he passed away. John, it is a GG at FightKMedia.com. So hope to see you there. Send him an email. Let him know he knows you. So just let him know who you are. One thing I wanted to add about the show tonight. The best thing about this show, there wasn't a single second on this show that wasn't directly related to All In.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that has been an issue with AEW.
Yeah.
A while where it's
like, I guess you could possibly say the Christian promo, but I'm sure that is going to play into All In. So
I remember there was one. It was like a big build, and then they had this random Brian Pillman Jr. segment.
Yeah.
Like, why do we need this in here?
There was one where I remember very clearly where Cody Rhodes took a pin in a random tag match against Austin Gunn on the go home show to a pay-per-view that neither one of them were on. Or maybe I don't think either one of them were. I don't know why Cody wasn't on that one, but anyway, that was back in the days when not every single wrestler wrestled on every single pay-per-view. All right. So that is that. So I don't have anything to plug other than my Twitter. So at Paul A. Fontaine on X. And I will tell you that match that you were talking about, the Sullivan and Cactus Jack against the Nasty Boys. Uh-huh. And then they did the next month. They did Cactus Jack and
Max Payne.
Though that match sold two pay-per-views for WCW because I bought both those pay-per-views for those matches.
Those are very good hardcore matches if you like the walking
boots. Yeah, and at the time, I was not buying WCW pay-per-views. So I specifically bought those shows for those two matches. So there you go. Nice. So for Jeff, I've been Paul, and this has been The Dynamite Show.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors.
If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.